I'd like now to welcome to the program Sharon Niederman. Her new book is called Signs and Shrines, Spiritual Journeys Across New Mexico. And she will be speaking tomorrow night, Thursday, at Collected Works Bookstore at 6 in the evening in conversation with Emily Drabansky. Welcome, Sharon, back to the Radio Cafe.
So happy to be here, Mary Charlotte.
Good to have you. Now, let's talk about this book, Spiritual Journeys Across New Mexico. It is definitely a guidebook. It's full of all the things that guidebooks have, like where to go and where it is and what the address is and where to eat and drink and stay and all of that. But the theme is the kind of spiritual and religious traditions of New Mexico.
Exactly. You've got it.
And so how did you come to do this project?
Well, you know, I've been traveling the back roads of New Mexico for many a year now, for going on 3 decades. And I myself am a spiritual quester. That is, I am naturally attracted to the kinds of places in the landscape or the built environment which have drawn people over time to experience the larger self, the spirit of the universe, if you will, the common self that's bigger than our everyday life. And if I look back on my travels, where I've gone in my life, where I've been drawn to, Machu Picchu or Tikal or so many places around the world, the Buddhist shrines in Thailand. And that's been my path. So I think how this happened, and my best ideas always come to me the way this one did. As a flash, without premeditation at all, like boom. I think what may have triggered it, though, is a couple of weeks before I had that idea, I saw a great big, beautiful coffee table book that National Geographic had published recently, like sort of along the line of 100 of the greatest spiritual sacred sites in the world. So I think it filtered in, and maybe one morning I was in my think tank, which is what I call my hot tub, because I'm a Pisces, and water is my element, and that's where, if I close my eyes, you know, things flash upon me. And I had this idea, that, well, New Mexico is full of these sites, and why not do a book of them? And how much fun that would be for me to kind of compile what I had learned and to deepen and travel further along those paths.
So when you think about sacred sites in New Mexico, I mean, you've kind of made a pretty loose definition of what that is. I mean, Billy the Kid is in the book.
Yeah. Well, that's so true.
And Roswell.
Yes, pilgrimages. Well, to a lot of people, I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to visit Roswell on 4th of July weekend, but there are thousands of people from all over the world who have made the pilgrimage to Roswell. And you're absolutely right. It is a personal issue. The way I could characterize it is it's kind of a backroads spirituality. You're probably not going to find too much of it listed in the phone book. And it's an off-the-beaten-path spirituality. And the way I've organized the book is according to pilgrimage routes. And yes, a lot of people are seeking the spirit of Billy the Kid. A lot of people are seeking a kind of knowledge that they believe is available through Roswell and the connections that that represents potentially for the cosmos. And, you know, different strokes for different folks. And that's what's so amazing about New Mexico is that we encompass all of this. And we encompass all these different ways from very, very traditional devout Catholicism to Buddhism side by side to Roswell, to Billy the Kid, to pathways of faith and curiosity and the desire to enlarge one's soul.
Do you think that as a result of having all of these different traditions, and many of them pretty well developed in this state, we're a less prejudiced state than other places?
I definitely do. I think that's one of our big attractions. And I would add to that, that's one of the discoveries that was deepened for me on this trip, is the, you might say, intermarried, mixed, multi-ethnicity of our state, which I don't think exists anywhere else but here. and to learn that over the past couple of decades, people have come out to honor their own multi-ethnic heritages as, say, acknowledging and celebrating, as in the Comanche dances at Ranchos de Taos on Ranchos Plaza on New Year's Day, when there is a group of dancers who dress in Plains Indian garb, outfits, war bonnets, paint, to honor the Comanche heritage that is theirs, because the Comanches did invade that part, and the community is very intermarried, and to celebrate it and to revive it. Same thing's true up in Abiquiu. Same thing's true with so many people now sort of coming out to their crypto-Jewish heritage as well.
Tell us more about that and how that figures into your book, The Crypto-Jewish Piece.
Well, in my observation, from let's say I came to New Mexico in 1980. I'm kind of a newcomer, really.
1980? That's not newcomer, Sharon.
You mean I've arrived?
You've been here a long time.
Thank you. At any rate, people were very, very reticent, even though they might have had a perception or a knowledge that if they came from a traditional Hispanic family, they did not, or they were not comfortable publicly proclaiming that they may have had Jewish roots in their family. You know, I have one really, really good friend who lives down in Tularosa, and now she says, oh yeah, of course we're Jewish. Everybody in my family is allergic to pork. And there were all this kind of folklore and myth about it, and since then it's been documented. There's a Society for Crypto-Judaic Studies. There is so much more known about it, largely through the scholarship of people like, there was no one like him, but through the leading scholarship of Dr. Stanley Hordes and others who have done immaculate scholarship in this regard to trace the families. And now it's, I wouldn't say it's commonplace, but I would say people are finding their heritage to be an inspiration and an enrichment in their lives rather than something that should be shamed or hidden or we don't talk about it.
And so how can somebody visiting the state use your guidebook to explore that?
Well, in the guidebook, I have provided resources, organizations, books, places of celebration, and people can kind of look through it and see what grabs them. And there are pilgrimage paths in the book, clearly defined pilgrimage paths. One place that I mentioned in the book where you can connect with the Crypto-Judaic piece is the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society. I'm a former president of that and the archivist for them, and it's a wonderful group, and it's a place that is very accepting and open, and you can do as little or as much as you want, but as an entry portal, that's an excellent spot.
Another part of it, which is obvious, which is what a lot of tourists come to New Mexico to explore, is Native American Indian heritage, and you've got a whole section on Pueblo etiquette. Mm-hmm. What do people need to know when they are visiting Pueblos here in New Mexico?
Don't walk across the plaza when there's a dance going on.
Is that something you actually have to tell people?
You actually do, Mary Charlotte. I don't think that you can tell them often enough how to be respectful and what is expected and just the way to comport yourself. And I think that's nothing against the people who are visiting. It's just that this is so, this experience, that which they are seeking in their hearts, this experience is so different from anything that they have known before, that they can feel confident with a little bit of hand-holding and instruction on proper behavior, that they can attend and be welcomed.
One of the things that I thought was helpful in that section was if you were at a Pueblo dance or event of that nature, think of it as being in church. rather than being at a performance.
Exactly. And it is church. I mean, the plaza is a sacred space, and people don't realize that because it's so humble looking. It's a dusty old plaza. People don't understand the sacredness of the centuries of dances that have been performed there and observations that have been performed there and that the significance of it to other people. But you know what? I admire the Pueblos so much for the way in which they invite and include anyone who might have the tiniest bit of interest in their ceremonies.
So when you were doing this book and getting ready to structure it, how did you choose all the different, what would you call them? Well, the different chapters, but the different, would you call them shrines? They're not all really shrines exactly.
No, they're not all shrines exactly. You know how I approach this book primarily? As you mentioned earlier, it is very much a guidebook. You can find out where, what spa to go to relax, or what's the best roadside cafe. But what I really, really wanted to do, my ambition with the book, Mary Charlotte, was to write the pieces that are linking the travel sections, say the pieces on the penitentes or the alabados, because I wanted to try to answer the questions that people ask when they come here. And to me, that's what makes New Mexico, New Mexico. What are those crosses on the roadside? Why are they there? What does that mean? I can surmise, but I try to draw on my reading and my travels to synthesize that in a very accessible way in these little pieces that I wrote. And I kind of built the book around those explanations.
Talk about the penitentes. That's one of the things that people always ask about, and that is a kind of, to this day, somewhat mysterious part of our heritage.
It very much is, and I don't pretend to know a great deal about it other than from my reading and from I've been fortunate enough to know a few people who have informed me and been very generous with information to me. But there are two theories about the penitentes, and one is that they arrived here in this state through all the colonists who came up from Mexico because they were relating back to a 13th century order in Spain. Another theory, less widely held, is that it originated here. And whatever theory you ascribe to, because nobody really, really, really knows for sure. Maybe some people have that knowledge, but it's not generally available. It was a lay brotherhood. The communities of New Mexico, say along the High Road, or even along the Camino Real, are so remote that they were not easily tended to by an actual priest. So this lay brotherhood took on a lot of the functions of the community in terms of guarding and caring for the rights of the community and keeping the community together, such as burials, making crosses to mark grave sites, tending to the community. And then, of course, we're coming up on that season, the Easter season, when they are most active. And there's a lot of sensationalism around the penitentes in terms of, you might say, what we would label as a kind of violence and self-violence in terms of the cult. I don't really know anything about that. I know there were some very, very serious practices in the past. I have no idea what goes on now.
Self-flagellation, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and there's also an order of women, I found out, called the Veronicas. And their form of penance was to walk with rice in their shoes.
Rice in their shoes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Doesn't sound that bad.
I don't know. It sounds pretty owie to me.
It's better than rocks.
I wouldn't want to do it. But they also tended the morada and, you know, made the altar cloths and fed the participants. So there was kind of a sisterhood along with it.
We're talking to Sharon Niederman about her book, Signs and Shrines, Spiritual Journeys Across New Mexico.
And for people who would like to learn more, I recommend the writings of Father Thomas Steele, I found them very, very informative.
About the Penitentes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ah, very interesting. Now, Chimayo is another place that you basically can't leave out when you talk about spiritual New Mexico. What can you tell us about this this destination?
Well, it's certainly a must-do if you're coming to northern New Mexico. And the Santuario is a pilgrimage site known as the Lords of America, famous for its healing dirt. It comes from a pocito, a little well that was actually a dried-up spring that the indigenous people used prior for healing. So it's very, very ancient. We don't really know how ancient. And the chapel itself...
Well, people take this dirt, mm-hmm. and supposedly more dirt comes up from below, but it's baloney because you find leaves in it.
Yeah, I think in... When nobody's really looking, the priest does
just
put in wheelbarrows of dirt. Yeah. But it's all about faith anyway, right? That makes it magical or makes it enchanted. So on the walls of the chapel are crutches that people have thrown away, prayers. It's very, very moving. And that's where people go to make the special prayer of their heart. 300,000 people a year go there. 30,000 alone make the pilgrimage on Good Friday.
And people walk from Santa Fe, from all over the place.
All over, from Tecolote, you will soon see pilgrims along the roadside.
That's right.
We're coming up on that season.
And it's such a beautiful place, Chimayo.
It is. Chimayo is exquisite. And Chimayo has many, many problems. And a friend of mine who lives there, I said, how do you explain this? This is one of the
holiest... You mean the heroin addiction thing, all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little bit of weird irony.
Yeah, and I asked my friend who farms her grandmother's 6 acres there and grows chili and flowers. And I said, why is this? How do you explain this dichotomy? And she said, well, my grandmother always used to say, wherever there is God, wherever there is great good, there is also great evil. And this is just the nature of the battle that we're all engaged in.
Another part of the book is about the various cliff dwellings in Santa Fe. And there are probably many more that are not accessible to people, but what cliff dwellings are accessible to people who want to go visit?
Well, not far from Santa Fe at all. One of my very favorite places, most moving, where I feel really most in touch with the ancient spirits, Bandelier National Monument. I haven't been there since the fire of last summer, the Conchas fire.
Right.
But I intend to go back soon. And you hike in there even a little way, and the silence and the magnificence of the cliff dwellings, it's got to hit you between the eyes. I especially love it in the winter when it's very, very quiet and the deer are out. And you can really feel the spirit of the place.
We're talking to Sharon Niederman. So you seem to, in all your writings, take on projects that basically put you all over the state of New Mexico talking to all kinds of people.
That's my favorite thing in the world, Mary Charlotte. And now that I added photography to my writing.
Are these all your photographs in the
book? All my photos. This is my
fourth. You're a good photographer.
Thank you. This is the fourth one I've done, and I find that it really enhances my storytelling and the writing and the picture-taking work together so, so well. Yeah, that's just... The amazing thing is, for as long as I've done it and for as many books as I've done about it, I never run out of ideas. The more I travel, the more the ideas seem to rise up to meet me. New Mexico is my muse, and I really feel like I'm in the zone when I'm out there, and I never know what's going to be around the next corner. And when I'm driving down that road, I think, yeah, it's a 2-lane road, but it is just so much my personal journey.
Sharon, who are some of your favorite people whom you met when you were putting together this book?
Wow. There were so many. It also gave me the opportunity to meet with my friends from around the state. Some of my most interesting people were the governor of Jemez Pueblo, Here's another multicultural, richly, deeply multicultural ceremony held every May 1st, because at the ancient ruins of Pecos National Monument, the people were pretty much wiped out by disease and by invaders hundreds of years ago, and the remaining, the remnants of that tribe journeyed down to Jemez and became part of Jemez. And they left their holy sites there at Pecos. And a Catholic church, mission church, was built atop the kiva. And every year on May the 1st, the descendants and the people from Jemez come up to Pecos, and the people from the church in the village of Pecos process over, and together they celebrate their common ancestry. And this was a very, very moving time for me, and the ladies who were making the sweet rolls that they were baking in the horno shared their recipes with me and their traditions with me. And that's the kind of experience that you really can't have any place else but New Mexico. And another very, very moving experience for me was the blessing of the waters in Las Vegas at the Gallinas River. And that's where the Penitente brothers from Arroyo Seco came. And the head of the Morada actually invited me up and was very open with me and sharing of the ceremony. So I have found that just through my, you might say, naive enthusiasm, people all over resonate with that and are happy to share with me their traditions, which I then try to take and interpret in my words and with my photos to share with others.
Did you ever get the response, look, we've got a tradition here, but we don't want to share it with all sorts of tourists coming in, so please don't put it in the book?
You know, you would think that. And I think maybe I have a sort of a built-in meter for that, where I know when something is too private and I don't share it. So
yeah.
No, to be honest with you, the short form answer is no. I found really openness along the way, and the desire to share and the desire to inform others.
There's also, which we haven't talked about, a kind of Eastern Buddhist and Hindu element to New Mexico's spiritual culture.
Very much so, Mary Charlotte, particularly here in Santa Fe, but also...
And Jemez.
Jemez, yes. And in the north, above Taos also. Yes, and Taos itself, of course, Hindu. But it's really growing in a grassroots way, I think, in southeastern Albuquerque, where now you have the establishment of several authentic Thai temples that are urban, like in Chiang Mai, and are very real and have festivals and followers. And it's the growth of the international district that is. We have more of more immigrants from Southeast Asia who bring their traditions with them. Albuquerque has been transformed.
Very interesting. What's it like there?
It's amazing. Well, first of all, we have a wonderful Asian grocery, Talin, and we have several other Asian groceries. That's just the biggest, and it sells international products and produce. And you have an enormous amount of Thai and Vietnamese cafes and restaurants to choose from. And it's almost like a little Southeast Asian district. That's why Senator Tim Keller had it renamed the International District.
Well, the book is called Signs and Shrines, Spiritual Journeys Across New Mexico, and Sharon Niederman will be at Collected Works Bookstore tomorrow night, Thursday, in conversation with Emily Drabansky at 6 in the evening. And we want to thank you so much for being here, and it's a terrific and very accessible guidebook full of great pictures and lots of information about New Mexico. So, Sharon, thanks for being with us.
Mary Charlotte, it is always such a pleasure, and thank you so much for having me on your program.